Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, tonight, big night over at the FSW Arena.
Yeah, you know, we got the Survival of the Fittest coming up in 2 weeks at the Silverton, so we're kind of trying to finalize things. We have the Nevada State Tournament. We're going to add four guys into the tournament for Survival of the Fittest. So we got some marquee matchups tonight, without a doubt.
Yeah. When you look at Clutch and Cody, what's the difference between the two of them in terms of where you saw them when they started and how far they've come to where they are now, being that it's been like a decade's journey for both of them?
Yeah, you know, these are guys that had ups and downs, or downs and ups and ups and downs. And, you know, there's so much history between them as it is that it's like a new chapter with what's been going on recently. But in the past, you know, the following and, you know, the Bonus Boys, then it became Death Proof and the RMB. And, you know, a lot of the players were the same, Sugar Brown, Jacob Boston Young. So it's crazy because it's come full circle, I guess you could say, but it's 10 years in the making. It starts with Crash Test Cody, you know, the lovable loser. And it starts with Clutch, who was part of, you know, GG Severe ran it, the agency, and, you know, had the young Gregory Sharp in it. And it was one of the factions that everybody can universally say was kind of a failure. You know, we haven't had a lot of failures in the factions that have been put together over the years. And seeing that a guy like Clutch, who's had so much success after the agency, Gregory Sharp took a lot longer.
Right.
And you look then at this young kid and you see pictures and it kind of makes you smile, like, man, he was only like 20 years old back then. And now he's this crazed, grizzled vet who many people feel might be the best wrestler in Vegas. But it's hard because there's so many best wrestlers in Vegas. You know, hey, who's the best unsigned wrestler? And it's like, well, you know, you got Chris Bay who lives in Vegas. You got Kenny King who lives in Vegas. And now you got Ricochet who lives in Vegas. Rey Mysterio lives in Vegas. I just heard The Miz move to Vegas.
Yeah.
Brian Cage lives in Vegas. Sabu, the Greg the Hammer Valentine, lives in Vegas.
Enrico.
Make a one-night tag team, Hammer Stone and the Hammer.
And if you could get Greg the money that it would probably take him to just stand on the apron.
Yeah, you can get him in the you can get him into the meet and greet pretty inexpensively.
Right.
But right. Anything else, you know. You know, maybe I got to get Brutus, you know, Brutus Beefcake in.
You know, he actually is officially retired now too, which is crazy.
Oh, is it official?
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy to think that, you know, looking back, what, 40 years now, how great for me as a kid, that tag team was absolutely like my first favorite tag team.
I hated the Dream Team.
Oh, loved it.
Oh.
Loved it. But I guess
I hated worse Rhythm and Blues.
Well, Rhythm and Blues was, that was bad.
With Greg Valentine with the black hair.
Yeah. And holding a guitar, not even like, don't even worry about looking like you play it or anything. Just stand there.
You know, if they would have let him hit people over the head, he could be Slap Nuts Jeff Jarrett right now.
Yeah. King of the Mountain still. What do you think when you look at the Nevada State Tournament? I mean, what do you think it comes down to in terms of what you're looking for that match at, you know, at Silverton? Do you think that it's a combination of, you know, certain styles, a combination of guys that maybe we haven't had a chance to, you know, necessarily see many times, you know, if the matchups end up, you know, one-on-one in the ring while other guys are out of the ring? You know, what kind of process goes through your mind when setting something like that up? And ultimately, when Jake gets back from, you know, Japan, does whoever is that champion have to be looking down the face of Jake?
Well, first off, the concept of the tournament is basically to have any former champion eligible in that situation. So Matt Vandegrift, he's the first guy in. He won a match at Future Shock. Now you got Shogun versus Ice Williams, the two last FSW heavyweight champions. You know, so that's a big deal. You know, somebody advances there. So that'll be the second one. Then we're doing something a little different in the triple threat match. The only person who gets pinned, and it's all former champions, former No Limits champion Bodie, former No Limits champion Braxton. Braxton won the belt off Bodie. Bodie won the belt back off Braxton. And then Gregory Sharp, who longest reigning Nevada State champion. So two of the three guys will advance. Whoever gets pinned is gone. So that takes us to four. You talked about Cody and Clutch is five. And then the idea is scouring, you know, for a wild card.
Right.
So we'll have six men in the tournament at the Silverton. There'll be two triple threat matches, and then the finals will be the singles match. So there'll be three matches that night. Now, as for the wild card, it's a wild card. They don't have to be a former FSW champion. Because, you know, we got word through Facebook that my guy, Bad Dude Tito's available. Well, I'm not going to say, hey, sorry, Tito, we can't put you in that match because you've never been a champion, even though you've been a champion everywhere else. So we have options in that situation. MK has informed me that Sam Adonis will be at the Silverton. Now,
is that just Sam Adonis is just going to be staying at the Silverton just coincidentally?
No, I think MK is bringing him in because the MK Army is going to be part of the tag match.
Right.
And we don't have enough matches. And then I wasn't positive, but then I got informed from Chris Bay that Chris Bay is like, hey, we good for survival of the fittest. And at that point, I had mentioned we were at seven matches, didn't really want to go to eight. But if Chris Bay, who is scheduled tonight to wrestle Robert Martyr,
right,
and we're going to have it, you know, he has the championship. Why wouldn't we defend the Mecca Grand Championship? He wants to fight everybody he can. Right. So there's an offer on the table for if Chris Bay wins tonight to defend the Mecca Grand Championship at the Survival of the Fittest against Sam Adonis. So we'll be adding another marquee matchup.
Yeah.
In that situation.
Absolutely.
So if that is the case, then there still is an opportunity for the wild card of the sixth guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to see what happens after tonight, because there's also other things in play, deciding on what we're going to do. Damian Drake, the No Limits champion, I've thought about the idea, and I think with everything that's going on as survival of the fittest, we're looking at possibly a gauntlet match. And Damian Drake would be the final guy somebody would have to beat to go there. Danny Limelight won't be there tonight. He has sent in a promo. And he's got some words for Dante King. So there's a good possibility that Danny Limelight and Dante King will be having some sort of match at Survival of the Fittest. So we got the tag teams that they're all going to be involved, depending on who's there, who's what. We just got word yesterday night that the regulators will not be at the show tonight. Thugnificent's wife is scheduled to give birth, and it looks like it might happen tonight. I've been affirmed that they will name the kid Joe, so that's the only reason he's not getting out of, you know, he's going to get out of the booking. So now, the golden era of Dave Dutra and Wise Guy, we don't know who they're going to wrestle yet. I've made some calls. And, you know, there's teams like the Killer D's that are looking for any opportunity. The MK Army is going to be there. Right. In defense of MK, they weren't scheduled for a match yet. Sky High is flying back in tonight from Albuquerque. So, like, I'm legitimately, after I'm done with you, trying to finalize the final couple things that are going to happen tonight. Because we got the three Nevada State Championship matches. We got the originals, Remy and Sugar Brown teaming up, which, again, you want to talk about full circle. You know, Bonus Boys and Whirlwind Gentlemen went at it for years.
Yeah.
But they also have the common bond of China working with Jake. It's funny, this whole storyline has been based around Jacob Austin Young. And as we come up to the casino show, he's nowhere to be seen.
Right.
Because he's wrestling in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, he is somewhere to be seen, which is, you know, a great thing. But at the same time, yeah, it's amazing how that just
not on our continent.
Right. Well, yeah, hey.
And we were made aware of it. You know, we were made aware of it after his match with Cody. And that's why we made sure we didn't include him in the tournament. Because, again, it wasn't my place to announce it. And people are like, well, what about Jacob Austin Young? And it's like, well, you know, let it play out. And, you know, obviously Jacob Austin Young has been with us forever. So, you know, just like TJP, once in a while, when he works for us, it's always going to be based around his, you know, Japanese tours. And, right. You know, so hopefully Jake will get more of those, but he still will be in the States more often than not. So there's no doubt Jacob Austin Young will be an integral part moving forward.
Right. You should have kept the belt on him, man, and had him defend it over there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure New Japan wouldn't have let him defend the belt there, but that, you know, that's another. Yeah, you never know. Suzuki might have been our Nevada State champion without ever wrestling in FSW.
Right.
Which would have been pretty cool, though.
Yeah, and then the belt would have shown up on AEW because it would have been defended.
And it was going to be in a Battle of the Belts match where there was 16 belts hanging from the rooftops. And whoever grabs a belt becomes that champion. That'd be an interesting match.
You know, just in general, that's we've seen the briefcase. Obviously, TNA does, you know, their four briefcases. But a multiple, like, have the tag belts, have the Nevada
I've always liked the idea of doing, like, four teams in a ladder match for the tag belts, but you have to grab both belts. So whoever grabs one belt becomes the tag team champions. I think that'd be something different and crazy cool to do.
Yeah, and it's a good way to mix it, you know, to mix a tag, you know, to
you have Duke Lawrence and Robbie Litt as the tag team champions. You know, Devin Reno and EJ Sparks.
Oof.
You know, I don't know how that would play out in Arizona with ECW, AWF, all that stuff. I don't know if they're – it's kind of like AAA and CMLL. I'm not sure if they're allowed to be in the ring at the same time together. Only in Vegas can you see Arizona wrestlers wrestle each other.
when you look at what's been going on with Dante King and Danny Limelight, like you said – looks like there'll be something going on when it comes to Survival of the Fittest. But, you know, how impressed have you been with how Dante has been just actively promoting himself, you know, conditioning, in the ring, working? It seems like when you look at someone who is serious about, you know, this matchup and making the most of the opportunity that he's being given to have this program with Danny. It's impressive, man. It really is.
Well, you know, and it you know, I talk about it all the time. You know, there's a lot of talented people, but in most cases, it's right place, right time. It's what you're looking to do. Hey, maybe we can try this. Have some ideas, and then all of a sudden, what may be seen initially as, okay, you know, Danny just won the belt, we need to get him a match, there's not really a storyline going, hey, you know, Dante's been impressive, maybe not win-loss record, the Damian Drake thing, whatever it was, but it's like, hey, this could be a good matchup. You know, we can play into a little bit with the fact that Dante's trainer initially, Gino Rivera, and Danny Limelight were a tag team years ago. So now Danny comes out and, you know, basically congratulates Dante for getting out of that deadbeat situation with Gino Rivera coming to Vegas, making something of himself instead of just being some grunt, you know, and the story plays itself. And fortunately for Dante, a guy like Danny Limelight can put it out there in a promo. Because if you can't put it over in the promo, then what backstory there is really has no meaning. Right. So, you know, by putting Danny in there, which now also gave an opportunity to Olivier Vegas, and it also gave an opportunity for Raw Reese. So... it wasn't just about Danny Limelight. It was also about incorporating other people. And Danny and Dante needed something coming out of the Damian Drake thing. So even though he lost in honor of his girl. And he quit basically to protect her. And the fans were starting to get behind him. So now they're even more firmly behind him.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I don't know if I want Danny Limelight after coming off what I saw him in Santana at House of Glory. Like, you know, that was the best performance Danny Limelight has had in his FSW career, you know, and he's now, you know, I think there was a sense of, even though he was the FSW heavyweight champion and you know, he beat Shogun and all these great things, he was an AEW, you know, he got let go from AEW and, you know, he's hustling and he's always working hard, but, you know, he's seeing his contemporaries, he's seeing guys maybe not as good as him all of a sudden get that AEW contract, get that TNA contract, and he's not getting it. And whether it has to do with his past and sometimes, and he'll admit, you know, his stupidity, his immatureness, that he wrestled Santana, so which might have been his first you know, real big name wrestler in that's been national in a little while, you know. So maybe that confidence level, and again, anybody could exude confidence. If anybody says Danny Limelight's not confident, you think, yeah, you're out of your fucking mind, this guy. But, you know, deep down, you got to question yourself. Hey, I got to let go. Hey, nobody's knocking on the door. You know, I had these opportunities in MLW. I had an opportunity back in the day in TNA. I had it at AEW. Not everybody can say that. And now you got to go full circle and try to get that opportunity again. Yeah. And the only way to do that is to impress people. And, you know, if I'm him, I'm the first thing I'm showing people is like, hey, look at my match with Santana. There's nobody who can say, oh, look how Santana carried Danny Limelight. No, it was a great back and forth match. Both guys are national talents. We're just fortunate to have him at FSW. Yeah. As you know, as a main guy, as one of his, you know, top companies, you know, we're in his top two or three of companies that he's always going to make sure that he is going to make himself available to FSW. So, you know, we're fortunate for that. And that's why our roster is, you know, top in the game. You know, you saw what FSW versus House of Glory. They didn't have the guys to compete with us.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, they had Red. They had, you know, Santana. Sure, they didn't have Gringo Loco. But guess what? We didn't have Hammerstone.
Right.
We didn't have Sharp. We didn't have Jacob Austin Young. But we still had Kenny King. We still were able to go and get Jay Vidal. He's our guy. We had the Unguided. You know, Matt and Damian Drake, you know, so our roster, despite missing three of our top guys, former champions, and weren't part of the House of Glory show, our roster still stood tall over theirs.
You know, when you talk about Damian Drake, so what are your feelings on the progression that he's made from the 80s icon to kind of rebellion against that to now I guess post-apocalyptic loner? Is like how do you think this transition has gone, and is it reading right in terms of he's hitting on what the character is?
Well, I'm going to be 1,000% honest. I thought the 80s gimmick was fine for a low-card guy who wants to get on a show. Sure. You know, I tried to explain to him. I'm like, 5 years ago when he wrestled Hammerstone for the heavyweight champion, people believed that Damian Drake could become the FSW heavyweight champion. Despite the fact that the crowd was digging his dancing and he's feuding with Gregory Sharp, but dancing with the girlfriend. We're doing a beat the clock challenge and he's making no effort to beat the clock. Like he's so enamored in what the fans are thinking, what everybody in the back is thinking. You know, he'll ask me a question, then go to Kenny, then go to Bay, then go to somebody else. And here's a guy who totally became unsure of himself. Now, in conversation since, he reminds me of the Damian Drake that I didn't really care for back in the day to when he left FSW to go to the other company in town. And I remember I wasn't there, but there was a show at the Orleans. And I guess one of the guys, I forgot, he painted his shit, the van, because he used to carry the rings, loony bin, the FSW logos and stuff like that. And kind of Damian Drake, because now he was with the other people, even though we're the ones who gave him his fucking start, you know, thought he was going to be a wise ass and fucking act like a fucking jack off. And I guess Rocky saw him. And then, of course, he tried to downplay it, but it was like, you know, you think you're over there and you think you made your better decision. You know, of course, you come back 6 months later whining to come back. And all is forgiven, but it still registers in my head. And then over the years, he's done the things. The Unguided was great. We're doing some stuff, you know, so now it's really on the back burner. Well, now he decides to desecrate my belt. And now, you know, he's got this new mentality, which is fine because obviously it's brought him success and won the match. And he won the No Limits title because in reality, he hadn't won matches in a long time. His, you know, he was losing to a rookie like Fox Valentine before Fox Valentine was getting any wins. You know, he's improved and they're a great tag team makeshift chemistry. But Damian Drake was getting opportunity for the Nevada State against Gregory Sharp. Big loss. You know, six-man tag, GCW, FSW, good match. He took the loss. Yeah. You know, wherever it was, Damian Drake wasn't winning. And sometimes it takes that fuck everybody else mentality. And, you know, unfortunately, it's fuck Joe mentality, but he won the match. He's the champion. And, you know, some people need the villain.
Sure.
And whether it was the Suavecitos, whether it was Bret the Threat, everybody wants to feel that the boss isn't giving them the accolades. Hey, look at the Suavecitos. Chris Hero, a big name ex-wrestler, is comfortable making them their champions.
Yeah.
Why isn't Joe DeFalco? He just doesn't like us. He holds us back. Well, maybe the feeling of holding you back is the reason you're succeeding in the first place because you feel you have something to prove.
Right.
I felt you weren't at that level. When they wrestled Hero and Shogun for the tag titles, they were outclassed. You could look at it any way you want. They were a deer in headlights in that match because they were going in with two monsters. So now when I pick apart the match, man, maybe you don't care for it. You know, it's the same thing with the Damian Drake situation when it came to the 80s dancing. I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting it. You know, so you come out, you come dancing, you know, during the match, you want the accolades of the crowd. That's fine. That's what fan favorites do. But you're giving up part of your soul to get that. And it's like, Damien, is it because you're doing this 80s thing? Or if you look back at your career, the Unguided were generally considered heels, but they were anti-heroes till they were cheered. Right. Midnight Marvels, you were a young kid. Is it the fact that you've been with us for 10 years that you're always going to have that pocket of fans who like you regardless? So now you turn it up and you come out to an 80s song that everybody knows and you're dancing and people are having fun with it, but they're not giving a shit if you win or lose. Mm-hmm. And now you're getting to the point where you're like a fucking seal in the circus. Come on, dance for me, dance for me. And your match qualities may not be there because after that, there was a couple times we put the Unguided together, as we did in the six-man tag that many people felt was the best match on that show. And he was a part of it because he worked differently. He worked as Damian Drake, the Unguided, not the circus seal.
Sure.
And he wanted to go out there because, shit, you got the young prodigy, which is what Damian Drake was, Bodie. You got Vandegrift, the guy who was his partner that he brought in that many people feel surpassed him. Then on the other side, you got Gringo Loco, who's fantastic. You got Cartwheel, and you got Alec Price, who's kind of underrated, but he's really good. Well, that gimmick ain't working in that match. Nobody wants to see you dance. They want to see you go with these guys who are considered some of the best in the business on the indie scene. And guess what? He did. He stepped up. He showed that he can do it. And now he's reverted back. So I'm definitely okay with it. I just wish he had a better attitude.
Do you think that there's a danger when talking about guys like that who are younger and bringing up the name Bodhi of getting trapped into that kind of not being able to move the needle out of being a fan favorite because the fans have seen you from the beginning?
It's definitely possible, but we've seen in the past an Ice Williams who people got behind. They can't stand him. But if you look at the faction now, you know, Ice Williams does have his fans. You know, Kenny, Hall of Famer, he's Kenny. He's been doing it for 25 years. No matter what he does inside the faction, people are going to have the respect for that Vegas guy who broke out onto a national scene, and they're going to refuse to not like him. And, you know, Braxton, on the other hand, I haven't really seen many people get behind him in any way, no matter what he does. So, you know, it's wrestling, so everything's perception.
Right.
And the perception on some of these guys, when it was Remy, when it was Graves, I don't give a shit. I like who I like. I was that way growing up. Heel sure. Macho Man Randy Savage was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. So I cheered for him no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, I loved Bret Hart when he was the tag team wrestler, and I loved the Hart Foundation. And I saw, like, this guy's better than just being a tag champion. And then when he was getting ready and starting on his run to being a tag team champion, you know, I was his biggest fan. So, you know, I'm probably one of the few that was like, oh my God, yeah, Bret Hart's the heavyweight champion.
Right.
You know, it's because you get behind who you get behind. And it's the same thing where you could be a perceived baby face. People don't like you. They don't like you. It doesn't matter what you want to be. You know, we've seen people that try to be so overly friendly that the fans can't stand them.
Yeah.
Because they're, because you could see, I've had it with guys just the way it was, that they're trying too hard to get on my radar. There's a way of getting on my radar, and then there's over kissing ass. And it's the same perception in wrestling.
Have you ever thought about taking two of those guys, putting them together in a tag team called the Ass Kissers?
Yeah, well, then what do you have to do? I have to give them a push, or they're going to be jobbers, you know what I mean? You know, speaking of that, I was watching, they were talking.
Depends how much ass they kiss.
Right now, I think we're pretty good with the number of tag teams that we have here in FSW. But it's definitely something I'll, you know, I'll put on the side list, you know, for down the road, you know, after the Fight Club. You know, I finally got the Billionaire Boys Club in. The resurrection of the new 1%, you know, stuff like that.
You still got to get that right.
Ass, another faction I have that I haven't been able to allot to somebody.
You got to get that Rat Pack idea going.
Yeah, right? the Brat Pack. Yeah, no doubt.
Right now, what do you think you know, ends up happening with your tag champs, since we're talking tag teams? You know, they're looking impressive. They've come a long way. Class is, you know, showing that As a tag team wrestler, he has definitely grown into working with Devin, and the way these guys work together is just spectacular. Is it something where it took those guys a little bit of time to build that chemistry, especially when Jordynne Cruz kind of moved out of the mix and just kind of gave them a little more time to just, you know, focus? And obviously they travel together. I mean, that's got to help the camaraderie between
the two. They train together.
Are those the building steps for a solid foundation of having a long-term, you know, tag champion, or is there just so much competition that, you know, you kind of go, well, you know, we can do this for a while, but then I'd like to kind of see these guys.
It's the any given Sunday mentality that, because they're good tag teams. So they're going to be wrestling in a triple threat against Makeshift Chemistry and Mariachi Montana. They're young green guys who have huge size advantage.
You wouldn't call them gringos, would you?
They are. Self-proclaimed. You know, they even said they're the best Mexican tag team that FSW's ever produced in their eyes.
Woo-hoo.
You know, and Joe DeFalco got behind them on that, but then maybe they got a little big for their britches. So, you know, I'm not too sure. But they're going to get their opportunity tonight. And Makeshift Chemistry has surpassed all of them. You know, back in the day, Sky High I remember they did a promo, and it was the A team and the B team. And they kind of took offense to the B team, and it was them. It was Laz and his partner, who I shall not name. You know, he's got heat with Joe, doesn't like me. But then there was also, you know, there was another tag team in that mix. And they were kind of the B teams. They were that young, which wasn't a disrespect. It was those younger teams that weren't at this level. They're working to get there eventually. Greatness and Tenacious. There was a few of the others, you know. And it became that situation, you know. The Killer D's, they have a victory over Makeshift Chemistry. Mariachi Montaña, Greatness and Tenacious. The Regulators stepped on board. Oh, Dutra and Wise Guy. Now all of a sudden there's these mix of tag teams. Well, Makeshift Chemistry knocked it out of the park when the Mariachis didn't against the Golden Era.
Yeah.
Well, that put them at a level. Then they had another match, and they had another match. And it's like, it didn't matter if it was a singles match or a tag match. Those guys shine in that opportunity. You can't hold them back.
Right.
You know, the funny thing is, oh yeah, you know, I had my issues with AJ and training because he became a ref. Then it was like he became too good for it. And there was some, you know, pitter patter between both of us where I wasn't happy with him. You know, Jay Vidal sat him down, and, you know, 6 months later, you know, everybody has nothing but praise for AJ. You know, he helps out when he's at the class. You know, he kind of steps up when Remy needs something going on in the class. And, you know, people go out of their way to say, hey, he's very helpful. Well, that's not how he really was in the beginning, you know. And the biggest misconception is, oh, Joe don't like you. That's why. No, it's because you're not good enough. Once you're good enough, personal issues take a back seat to what's best for the show. And that's also the problem of the school and the show, that despite you owing dues, being behind, if we're working something on the shows, I don't pull you and say, well, you better catch up. No, and that was the same issues with, you know, the Suavecitos and things like that. Those were the issues, but it never stopped them from getting what they were involved in. And good, bad, indifferent, you know, I guess business-wise, it's probably not the best philosophy, But my main focus is the shows. I'm not pulling somebody from a show because I said you need to pay me Friday and you didn't. And it's pulling teeth to do that, because in reality, it is a separate entity. There's a promotion and there's a school. The problem is the school gives you the opportunity to be on the promotion, to where a Tito and Che or an Eli Everfly or a Wise Guy don't get to be on shows because I'm trying to incorporate the younger guys to get them that experience, and bypassing and watching Royce and Jarrell and Tito and Che become huge stars from when we had them. Well, if they were in the mix from the beginning, hey, maybe they're still working me that Hammerstone deal and the Bay deal, and like, hey, because those guys never missed a beat in FSW.
Right.
Well, you know, now they're higher talent. Now they're not FSW guys. Because people think, oh, well, you didn't train him. No, that has nothing to do with being an FSW guy. Hammerstone's an FSW guy.
Right.
Bay's an FSW guy. Well, we trained Bay. We didn't train Hammerstone, but I used Hammerstone when he was working fucking, you know, the swap meets in fucking Tucson or some shit. You know, in front of 30 people. And I continually worked with him, and he got to work some of the... His early matches, the best people he ever worked were most likely at FSW.
Right.
And then you got different personalities. Some don't give a fuck, and some are very grateful.
Right.
And that's why Hammerstone will always be, to me, possibly the greatest champion we ever had. He did things that he didn't have to do.
Right.
Like Chris Bay, you could say, hey, you know what? He kind of owes, because of the fact that, you know, he trained here. We gave him breaks, things he got behind, whatever. So deep down in his head, it's like, yeah, you know, Joe really took care of me. In Hammerstone, I didn't train him. He didn't owe me money. All he did was work for me where I paid him. And then as time progressed, I underpaid him.
Right.
But he was still grateful for the opportunities. And, right. You know, you can't beat that, because he also goes on the road. And then Richard Holiday wants to work for us, because in MLW, Hammerstone's telling everybody how great it is to be a part of FSW.
Right.
Reno Scum used to do that up in Reno, and they wrestled a lot in NorCal. So we ended up having a really good reputation there. You know, it came the saying that, you know, I was more respected everywhere outside of Vegas.
Right.
Because inside Vegas, everybody was delusional, or most people are delusional, and feel that I would put the nerve of putting outside talent over them, yet they could barely fucking wrestle. It's like your comeuppance is getting an opportunity to wrestle this guy.
Right.
You're not good enough to beat this guy.
Yeah.
And that was the perception. So since we were based in Vegas, I should always bring in guys from out of Vegas. Well, they should lose because, you know, this is a Vegas company. And yeah. It's like, well, yeah, that's not really how it works, because in my mind, even though in 2009 it didn't exist, you wanted to be bigger than just Las Vegas, Nevada. You wanted people to know who you were everywhere. Yeah. And, you know, 15 years later, you know, are we a household name? No, but we are known outside the community. You know, we can get over 1,000 people to watch FSW versus House of Glory. We can get over almost 3,000 people to watch FSW versus GCW.
Yeah.
You know, because people, oh yeah, Chris Bay, I know him, Hammerstone, Joey Janela. That becomes a big match. That's FSW versus GCW, tried and true. That's the staple versus the staple.
Well, and another thing too, for instance, we just saw Ace and Bay go against you know, AJ Francis and Casey Navarro, and Bay had the chance to work Navarro here. You know, so
because Chris Bay recommended him, he came to town,
and so
we used Casey a couple times.
Right. And so you see the importance too of having outside talent come in, because if your goal is to get higher in the business, you are eventually going to be facing some of these guys who live on the East Coast, who live in the Midwest.
Richard Adonis, who gets Jay Vidal and Kenny King, gets down here on his own. Robert Martyr.
Martyr.
You know, the reason Robert Martyr got in the Future Legends tournament was because Chris Bay saw him in Texas on a show and really liked what he saw. They struck up a friendship. Hey, I need a guy. Hey, you know, in your travels, Chris, I need some guys 25 and under. And he recommended him. And then Jared Diaz, who I knew because he came out on his own. He recommended Richard King, who became Richard Adonis. Checked out his stuff. I liked it. We stayed in touch. So now he wants to get out here. Another guy, Vinny Pacifico, who's wrestling some of the biggest names, keeps hitting me up. Hey, Joe, I really want to get out here. Well, you know, couldn't do it this month. He was in a tour of fucking France. And this guy's wrestling, and he doesn't need to say, hey, I'll get myself out here. I'll work for whatever you want to pay me. You know, I really want to work FSW. And I get messages from people that, you know, from Arizona. Hey, you know, I talked to Class or Reno or Hammerstone or Graves or Dom or whoever it is. You know, we want to get out to FSW. Can we come out to the show and help out? You know, Brittany Brooks, she trained at Arizona Wrestling Federation. So she became friends with somebody who hit me up and he brought a crew. And they came just to watch to see how it was. And, hey, if there's any opportunities. Because I always say, out of mind, out of sight. If you come in, you know, that's how Watson got on shows.
Yeah.
He got on shows because, A, he came out on his own dime to help out, do things. It's funny. He helps more. He helped more when he lived in Arizona than he does in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's kind of weird. But, you know, he got his foot in the door. And then guys like Graves and Hammerstone put him over. It's how Class got in. And it's how, as I say, 90% of the people get in because it's a recommendation from somebody whose opinion I value. There's too many people who send you stuff that you know nothing about that nobody can put over other than they have a two-minute clip that looks pretty good.
Right.
But, you know, you can hit a move. I could have my worst students who've been there a month try to do something 10 times, and one time they may do it where it looks great. Well, if you put it all the times it looks great on a reel, it looks like you're fucking the next best thing.
Right. Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, well, you know, and that's the funniest thing about that is that's the deception now. You know, back in the day when it was just word of mouth and tape, you know when the tape has been edited. Because of the splicing, you know, it just was obvious on VHS. Here, you can just package together something that looks like a rock video and make yourself look like $1 million, and then you're the drizzling shits when you actually go out there.
And then it's also because we have such good talent. When I don't get a chance to message Conan about the mariachis and their gimmick, Maserati gets to work one of Conan shows and puts them onto them, and now they're booked to wrestle a show in Tijuana. So it's the FSW influence. Santana Jackson, despite not using him that often, we're the guy who put him on the map. And Conan came to me to talk to him about getting over there.
Yeah.
And now he was working the Tijuana shows and the mariachis and Maz, and not because of me, but Viva Van. But the common bond is all these people working FSW.
Right.
So now, how do you think Demir got booked at Arizona Wrestling? Well, probably through Fresco, through Watson, the faction guys who were over there themselves.
Right.
How do you think the Suavecitos or any of the other guys got on Dom show, Brett the Threat? Probably because either Hammerstone and that crew went over there, or Remy and guys from ours that were wrestling for him said, hey, if you need young guys, because Dom focuses on a lot of younger guys.
Yeah.
And didn't really have a tag team. So they brought in the Suavecitos who got work from. Yeah. And they brought in Brett the Threat. and they bring in these younger guys. And that's the networking. Santino Brothers. Mariachi's got booked there. Well, hey, Eli Everfly, who kind of books for them, or the guy RJ who runs East Los Lucha, who's, you know, he's like Eli's brother, tells people his brother, not really the brother, great kid. You know, he's like 24, 25, runs shows, and, you know, always the most respectful person I know. Hey, he'll just hit me up. Hey, how you been? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, I'm coming up with Eli. Is it okay? You know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, absolutely. And then it'd be like, hey, you know, when we did the stuff in Prim, he ended up getting me a couple of the guys because they needed the luchas. So then it was like, in turn, it was like, hey, we got these guys that might work for you. They're legit mariachis. They might be able to do something. Well, now they're booked on that show. And that's the kind of things of the networking that working for FSW, that's the little things. That's the bonus. You know, I've been seeing so much shit about promoters online. And it's like, so now it seems like I'm supposed to not only print the flyers, I'm supposed to hand out all the flyers. Okay. And then the students, I should be paying to be the ring crew. And I should still put them all on and pay them all to be on the shows. And it's like, so the wrestlers don't do anything anymore. They don't need to promote the shows either. Wow. Like, in what fucking world are we living in? Like, it should be kind of a joint venture. I make the flyers. I'm getting you on the show. You should be promoting the show. If you don't promote the show, why would I need to use you? I'll just take your money to be a student at my school, and then I won't book you until you get an outside booking. How much longer do you think it'll take for you to get that first booking? Oh, you trained at FSW? Yeah. I got trained by Kenny King. Oh, you got any matches? No, they haven't used me yet. Well, I would personally think that I wasn't good enough to be on shows yet. If I don't put you on a show, yet you've trained with me for 9 months, why would I think you were good enough? Now, you're not going to have any footage that we also give you free of charge, which we have no issues with. We put it on there. But we still got to yell at everybody for putting their full matches on and finishes and all the other shit because they can't have the decency to just take clips of matches. You got to tell them every fucking show. So it's like, work with me here, guys. You know, we're helping you. And again, and I'm not trying to say it's everybody because it's not everybody. Right. You know, there's newer people that don't know things. Right. But it's like, have some common sense. You know, ask questions.
Right.
You know, issue somebody who's supposed to wrestle. Hey, bro, I haven't seen you. I haven't seen any dudes, and I haven't seen you. I kind of had you scheduled today. Yeah, you know, I lost my job. I was kind of depressed. Okay, so you lost your job being a security guy somewhere. Not that there's a million of those jobs. I get it. Got to pay your bills. Got to do all your stuff. But your goal in life is to be a wrestler. So you don't have a job, which means all your time is free. But now right. I see you less. Because whether you're a week behind or 3 weeks behind, if you haven't mentioned anything, sometimes you might have lost your job and you're the middle of the month. Well, wouldn't you come every day? You're paid up for anyway.
Right.
Like, your goal in life is not to be a security guy somewhere in this world. Your goal is to be a professional wrestler. But you're not coming to training because you lost your job as a security
guy. Right.
It's like It's backwards thinking. Chris Bay quit his jobs because they wouldn't let him wrestle on a show Friday. Yep. Chris Bay quit there because they wouldn't give him off at 5 o'clock, even though he got off at 6:30. Fuck you, I got to train. I need to do this as much as I can. You know, Brian Kendrick once said at our seminar, you know, I was the first guy in and last guy out. If it cost me the job that I didn't fucking want anyway, oh, well, I'll go find another.
Yeah.
You know, this is Vegas. I don't care what anybody says. If you want to work, you'll get a job. Because so many people have decided that they don't want to work for 10 or 12 or 15 bucks an hour. Like, I'm pretty sure if you work and you make $500 a week, you'll be able to afford to, you know, rent your apartment if you're living with somebody and get some food and come to training and try to work something out. You know, our guy Jonathan, hey, I can't afford to pay the dues. You know, what about me being the cleanup guy? Hey, never thought of that. You know, Rocky has to do it all the time. We got a guy there every day. That was the best $100 a month off I ever did in FSW's history.
Sure.
You know, that motherfucker cleaned. Yeah. And he didn't clean 5 days a week or nothing, you know? So it was now Fox has taken over that. And Fox pays less dues because now he's on shows and things like that. But now he's getting those reduced even more.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, dude, this is what you got to do. Jonathan set a standard. You know, I don't need to walk in and clean the sink.
Right.
Like I did for Tommy's, Thomas Day's ska thing. It's like, this needs to be fucking clean. That's what you're getting your dues taken on for. So, you know, I got a couple other guys and one of the younger kids. Hey, bro, you know, he asked to do it. I'm like, hey, I appreciate it. And this was even before Fox, but it's like, you don't drive. Like, I can't be your lackey and can't get cleaning utensils and the napkins and the paper towels. I need somebody who, when we need something in an hour, you can go and do it and not have to rely on somebody. So yeah. Now he's got no job. So now it's trying to figure out. I'm like, I can't really reduce you for doing nothing. It's the principle of everybody else is having to pay X amount of dollars. Now, if you can come in a little at a time and pay it over 4 weeks, but I get it. If you have no job, you've got no income. Well, maybe you need to take a step back and get the job. Right. Because, you know, I still got to pay Sin Bodhi. I still got to pay Kenny King and Remy and Cody and Chris Bay and all the others. And I still got to pay the landlord who charges us an extra $1,200 a month now.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I could try. I try to be the nicest guy I can, but, you know, you can't go to electrical school or haircutting school and pay for 2 months and then still train for the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth because it's a 6 month course because I don't have the money. They're like, well, when you get the money, we'll see you again. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You would think the cutthroat business of wrestling would be way worse. No, I'm way fucking nicer than the guy who runs the haircutting school.
Hey, a barber gimmick. Have you ever thought?
Yeah, Nino the Barber Black. He's already got the shears and shit. All of a sudden I walk in, there's like a light on and he's cutting people's hair in the fucking back. Like, hey, am I getting a fee? You know, because when you rent, you have to rent a cubicle.
Right.
You know, like you didn't have all my clients, I should get a cut. Nobody wants to give me a cut of anything.
Oh, man. All right. Before we go, run down the card one last time for tonight's show.
Well, we got Robert Martyr and Chris Bay. Big matchup. Two guys that, you know, a lot of respect for each other. You know, Robert Martyr, you know, that's a dream match for him, you know.
Yeah.
We got the tag team titles on the line. The Billionaire Boys Club, they're going to defend against the two most favorite local tag teams, Makeshift Chemistry and Mariachi Montana. The Regulators are out, so we're figuring out who the Golden Era are going to wrestle. My money's on Sky High, but I don't know if they're going to be here in time. So, you know, they can't get here at 7 o'clock and all of a sudden, oh shit, you know, you guys are on in 5 minutes. 'Cause I don't know. So, you know, that's matched the three Nevada State tournament matches. And then we got also Remy and Shug teaming up. The FSW Originals against Snuff, Judah Matthew, the newest guy, and Tyler Bateman's on the show. Cody and Clutch, Shogun and Ice. Like, there's five main events on this show.
Yeah.
Bodie Sharp and Braxton, and Dante King will be in action. So, you know, sky's the limit. Tickets start $20 each, $30 for front row. Tickets are still available. We got the Silverton in 2 weeks, Survival of the Fittest. You're going to see some of the matchups be created tonight. So it's going to be a good night tonight. Hopefully we get the AC fixed. Rocky, again, the swamp cooler. Now it's blowing cold, warm air again from the up top.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it should be all fixed by then.
Yeah, right. So
are you getting this out before the show, by the way?
Yeah, I'm going to put it up right away. Yeah, and $1,200 extra dollars you pay a month now for the swamp cooler to blow hot air.
Oh, we're responsible for that.
Right.
We're responsible to fix their swamp cooler that all we do is turn the switch on and off. We have no access to it.
Oh, man. You got to love it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but I can't call my own person to come in and fix it. Even though when I hit them up, I waited 2 weeks because we went up there and fixed it.
Right.
But it's like, so I got to use your air conditioning person at your convenience. So when are you going to come? In October? After we're, you turn off the swamp cooler?
Yeah, and then the air starts blowing cold air during the middle of winter beautifully.
Yeah, so I found, so I found out they actually sold the building. They're still representing as the management company. So now it's all new people.
Gosh, that's fun.
Joy in Mudville. It's always something.
Well, there you go. That's the lesson for today. It's always something. And always something. Tonight there's going to be quite a bit of something going on. So check it out. You can always catch it on Triller if you're not in town. And until next time, everyone, take care. And we'll see you guys then.